Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 14. In verse 25, this is when Jesus walked on water and the disciples were in a boat on the sea and there was a big storm. And it says there, now in the fourth watch of the night, so this was in the dead of night, Jesus went to them walking on water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. I would be troubled too. Do you think you would be troubled? Middle of the night, and then there's this guy walking on the sea. This is different, I would say. This is unusual. This is odd. What the heck is going on? And I would be a little troubled. And they said, it's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. In other words, relax. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, that is to say, there was a heavy wind, he was afraid and began sinking, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him, and he said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got in the boat, the wind ceased. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not sure how quick I would be to get out of that boat in the midst of a storm on a sea. A lot of people will criticize Peter, look at him negatively as a result of this. Because he was walking on the water and he started to doubt and he started to sink and Jesus had to reach out and grab him. Peter walked on water. What is the criticism? Peter walked on water. How can you criticize somebody who walked on water? I don't get it. Peter walked on water. And so there's this mentality sometimes, but here's the thing about it. Jesus actually acknowledged what Peter had done. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you have a little bit of faith. And what he was essentially saying to him, why didn't you use the little bit of faith that you were using? Why did you doubt? Why didn't you continue using that faith? That tiny bit of faith, Peter, caused you to walk on the sea. And then you stopped using the little bit of faith that you had. Now, this was a problem for Peter, and his problem was similar to a problem that we have sometimes. Peter was confident for a little while. Jesus called to him and he went out and he trusted Jesus. That's why he went out. But then he started to look around himself and he noticed the conditions around him. He noticed that the weather was rough. He noticed that the sea was rough. He noticed that things weren't going the way that he would hope they would go if you're going to walk on water. And so he started to wonder about what was going on. He started to sink. Peter got insecure about walking on water. Now, every problem that we have almost is due to insecurity. Young people, watch out for insecurity. Insecurity can be very destructive and very easy to enter into. Insecurity, if you don't exactly understand what that means, is when you start to doubt yourself or your ability or something about you because you've started to doubt God. That's really where insecurity comes from. If it was up to me, then it would be legitimate for me to doubt everything about me. because I'm a human being and human beings are very flawed. Human beings have very limited ability for pretty much anything. But it's not about me doing anything. It's about what God has done for me. It's about the relationship that He has with me even more than the relationship that I have with Him. We don't always think about that. We think about, well, we have a relationship with Jesus, yes, but Jesus also has a relationship with you. And that's really the main relationship. It's not about what I have with Him, it's about what He has with me. And when I start to recognize this, I can start to deal with insecurity. I can start to have insecurity go away. In Genesis 3:10, we have the first instance and a perfect example of how insecurity works. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. And in the garden, Satan tempted them to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You know the story. And when they ate, their eyes were opened, and that's not really their eyes. What it means is they became self-conscious. They recognized that they were naked, and they tried to cover themselves up with leaves. And then God calls to them, and they hide themselves. And God says, "Where are you?" And then in verse 10, Adam answers him and he said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Adam became insecure. Why? Because Adam became self-conscious, self-oriented. It became about Adam. It became about Adam's condition, what Adam was like. And so he became very insecure. One of the problems with being self-centered is you become very insecure because it's all about you. And if it's all about me, what is there about me that can do anything apart from God? And then God said to him, "Who told you that you were naked?" God pointed out to Adam that him being naked was not even his own thought, that it was an idea, a thought that Satan planted in his mind to take advantage of the fact that Adam got self-centered. Now in Genesis 2:7, the Bible says that God created us out of the dust of the ground and He breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul. Here you have one of the key things about fighting insecurity. Why don't I have to be insecure? Because insecurity, 100% of the time, is a waste of time. There's never a time when God wants you to be insecure. Well, if God made me, first of all, with His own hands, and His breath made me alive, then what is there to be insecure about? And to boot, the word ground and the word Adam are the same word that means to show blood. That means that the blood of Christ has always taken care of me. There was never a problem, never a mistake, never anything that could separate us from the love of God because of the blood of Christ. And it was in the ground, and it was in Adam, and everything that exists has the blood of Christ permeating it. God removes our sins by the blood. A lot of people become insecure because they make a mistake or they do something wrong or they sin or somehow they become aware of something they shouldn't have done or would have rather not have done, and now they're insecure about it. Now they're kind of worried about it. The blood of Christ removes all our sins. God doesn't make us live in our sins. God doesn't have us living with our sins. God removes our sins from us. In Psalm 103:12, He removes them as far as the east is from the west. That's to the other side of the universe. You cannot ever put a sin to a believer because God removes that sin. There's nothing to be insecure about as far as sin goes, not in the least bit. It's all been removed. God will not charge any sin to any believer, And for that matter, he won't charge any sin to any unbeliever either, except for the sin of unbelief. Now in Matthew 17:20, Jesus said that if you have the faith of a mustard seed — mustard seeds were tiny. Now mustard today and mustard in Jesus' day were two different things. But mustard seeds then were these tiny little seeds that ended up in fairly good-sized trees. He said, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed may be small, but it's alive and it's growing. So even though my faith may be small, like Peter's faith was small, it was alive and it was growing. But then Peter walked on water. So the fact that he had only a little bit of faith didn't stop some pretty amazing things from happening. It's not a question of how much faith. It's a question of what do you do with your faith. And Peter, just like you, put his faith in Christ. In John 15:7, if you remain in the love of God, you keep yourself in the love of God, and the Word of God remains in you, then you can ask anything you want, and it will be done for you. In the last part of Matthew 17:20, nothing will be impossible for you. What's there to be insecure about? Are you insecure about your ability? Nothing is impossible for you. What ability are you worried about? Nothing is impossible for you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the Bible says. Nothing is impossible for the believer. In Ephesians 1:6, some people are insecure about whether they'll be accepted. You know how people sometimes think, I wonder what they think of me. I hope they don't reject me. No such thing with God. In Ephesians 1:6, He made us accepted in the Beloved. He's already accepted us. He accepted us before we were even born. He's made us accepted in the Beloved. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, because we're accepted in the Beloved, all things are for our sake. There is nothing that even happens, nothing that can happen at all, that God did not design for our benefit. Even if it's a bad thing, God will take that thing and turn it around and make it sure that it's for our benefit. All things are for our sake. In Isaiah 43:1, God says, fear not, don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've redeemed you. Don't be afraid. I've taken you to myself. I've called you by name. You are mine. Well, if I belong to God, who cares who else accepts me or not? I belong to God. I'm not worried what anybody thinks about me because I belong to God. I'm not afraid of being rejected by people because God will never reject me. He accepts me. I belong to God. That can give you tremendous confidence. My wife, when she was young, and I don't think she'll mind my telling this story, she tells it herself on occasion, she would really tease her sisters to no end. And they would really find that annoying. She was the little baby of the family. She was the youngest of the group. And she would tease her older sisters and tease them and tease them and tease them. And they'd get all kinds of mad at her and annoyed with her. And she didn't care. She told me why she didn't care. You know why? She knew her mom loved her. And if she knew that her mom loved her, she was fine. Who cared what anybody else thought? Her mom loved her. Well, it's like that with God. God loves you. Who cares what anybody else thinks? God loves you. You're accepted by Him. He loves you. He calls you His own. In John 14:16, Jesus said that He would send us the Holy Spirit and that He would stay with us forever. And that He is the Spirit of truth. Well, in John 16:13, the Spirit of truth guides us in all truth. Sometimes people are insecure when they have to make a decision and they don't necessarily know the answer. That can happen pretty easily. I think pretty much everybody goes to that kind of insecurity once in a blue moon. You never worry about it. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. Jesus sent him. The Holy Spirit lives in you and he guides you in all the decisions of your life to ensure that you remain in truth. In Proverbs 4:6, if you acknowledge him, he'll guide your steps. What's there to be insecure about? Tough decision. I don't know what to do. Solution is really easy. Ask God, and he will make sure that you've made the right decision. You don't need to be insecure about that. Learn to be secure in who God has made you to be. He's made you into his beloved. He calls you his own. He tells you he loves you. He says you're precious in his eyes in Isaiah 43:4. He says that he will forgive you absolutely everything in Ephesians 4:32. But what if I really mess up? God will forgive you. Does that mean that messing up is good? Does it mean that sin is good? No. The wages of sin is death. It's terrible. But God will forgive you. God will restore you. God will help you. God will fix it. Don't sin, but if you do, don't sweat it. There's a way to deal with it. God will take care of it. In Jeremiah 31:3, he loves you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness he draws you. If you ever make a mistake, don't be insecure about coming to him. He's not going to beat you up. He's not going to be mad at you. He's not going to chew you out. He's not going to punish you because you came to him. Instead, he's going to love you into coming to him. Romans 5:8 says that God commends his love toward us. That word commends is a really interesting word. It's the word sunestesin in the original language. And it means that God makes us into one person with his love. Can you imagine that you become one new person, somebody you weren't before? You're a new person, and now part of you, half of you, is the love of God. It's like almost taking two dogs of different breeds and mixing them so they have puppies that are a little bit of each breed. The love of God and us were put together by God, and now we are a new type of person who is human love of God. That's very powerful. That's who you are. There's no insecurity about that. There is so much confidence. There is so much boldness in every single situation, every circumstance. It doesn't matter. Every person you deal with, you can be so confident and you don't have to have any insecurity at all. Just learn to be secure in who God has made you to be. And he'll take care of everything for you. Insecurity is a lie from the enemy. Don't believe his lies. Instead, run with the promises of God. Trust them. And insecurity will be nowhere to be found. You guys understand that?